You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
Wait, hold on. So should we start the show like with the somber voice? You know, when like Saved by the Bell would do the serious episode?
Is this a very special episode of Clock Radio Speakers?
Yes, it is. It's a very special episode of Clock Radio Speakers. What's going on, everybody? My name is Armand Wake Up. Follow me on all social media platforms at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, on Facebook. I already said Twitter. That's right. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is no longer powered by Tumblr, but you can get all previous 300 some odd episodes there. We're also on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, everywhere you get podcasts except for you know where and you know why. And Doc is in the building. What is going on?
I figured we needed a big sigh this week. I'm doing all right, man. Y'all can follow me on Twitter or Instagram if you want, at @Doc_Beats. That's not a Z, but like Armand said, just follow the show at CRS Podcast and ClockRadioSpeakers.com. And a big, big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We appreciate y'all. We do a pre-show for them every week. This week, the raw audio was like 50-something minutes, so I'm sure we'll trim that down a little bit. But we answer questions. We talk about a lot of stuff. We give exclusive sneak peeks at new music. And so if you're interested in that, it's patreon.com/CRS podcast, or just go to collectreadyspeakers.com. There's a link at the top. That's all the self promo I'm getting at. Well, actually, we're doing a lot of self promo this week. What am I saying?
Oh, no, this is the self promo episode, because everyone who was asking me about the album and wanting to support it, like, hey, if you're a Patreon supporter, you've had the album for at least 3 days. Mm-hmm. And if you were a $10 supporter, you've had it for a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so thank you guys for supporting. But Doc and I have a project coming out today. It's out. It's in the streets
right now.
Right this very second. It is available. It is called Armand and Doc, which is very on brand. I wanted it. I fought really hard for Clock Radio Speakers, the album, but we'll get into the details of the album. But it's available now. Stream it everywhere. Buy it everywhere. How many tracks? Eight?
Eight songs. Clocks very, in it. It's a very tidy, what is it, like 19 minutes or something?
It's super quick.
I should know this.
You know, I still use VLC because I'm stuck in 2004.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they won't, it doesn't show me like the time of the entire playlist. I think that was what's the player that had the lightning bolt as the
Winamp.
Winamp does that.
Yo, my Apple Music app tells me it's 19 minutes. So we're definitely in Kanye West territory right now.
But that's what I wanted. I one of the things that I kind of saw for the project was just a very quick listen. I wanted to get in, get out. That's an OG's classic. And I wanted to, because Doc was trying so many different things, I wanted to jolt the listener. So, you know, go into it not expecting what you think you're going to hear. Because Doc in particular, I'm saying Doc is the MVP of this album. Doc takes you on a ride, like, for sure. The production is very much different. The only thing that's similar is just the fact that the samples, but different tempos, different drums. Like, I mean, if Let 'Em See is any indication, like, that's where we are.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah. But you get some bars off. Don't sell yourself short.
I'm not selling myself short. I'm just hyping you up. You know, I think you're the MVP of the album. You know, I think by now people know that I get busy, but I don't think they know all that you do.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they've only heard maybe, depending on when they like jumped on the train, right, they might have only heard 723. They might have only heard a handful of records. They haven't heard any of the old stuff, which is also available on streaming services. But they don't know all that you can do. So, you know, I'm glad that you were able to show them what you could do, and then also, you know, hit him with a little bit of a remix.
Yeah, you know, we tried to do a couple different things. It's funny, I'm looking at, because my notes here, I wanted to make sure I remembered like the beat numbers, which is how Armand and I always think about these songs initially, is because I number all my beats in sequential order. And so, like, you know, we've been talking about, like, some of these beats go back to like middle of 2018 almost. Mm-hmm. And I realized, I was like, oh yeah, like, I've been kind of doing some different stuff for a little while now, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of it hasn't really gotten out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, and that's what happens. You hit a vein. You get your Blueprint 3 on. You make some records that are good, solid.
Sure.
Kind of see where you're going. I may not be a fan of them.
That's
but
okay.
Then you end up hitting a vein. You hit a vein.
Yeah.
And you hit a vein, and what happens is a lot of those beats end up being, since you number them, they're all like in the same family.
Yeah, some of them definitely are, for sure.
Like the nines, like there's a lot of nines.
Yeah.
There's a couple of eight. Like it goes from like the late eights to like, I think the last beat is 10-16 technically.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, it's not much of a beat, but that's for you to get your bars off. That came out of a conversation we had on this show.
Yes, it did. Yep. All the times when I tell Doc, oh, you should flip this. Actually, I have another idea with you. I talked to Taylor about, you said something on the show. I meant to text it to you, but I will tell you after the show. I actually text you right now.
Okay.
But I have an idea for an idea that you shared on the show. But yes, 10-16 was a conversation that we had about a particular record. And he's like, yo, you should flip that. And the funny part about that record is you just loop. I think, no. I asked you to just loop it.
Yeah.
Cause you looped it and you were gonna, you know, add your drums and do your Doc thing.
Yeah. I was gonna bring the band in, you know.
Yeah. And you didn't.
No, I didn't. So do you wanna just talk about the album now?
Let's get it out the way. Listen, man, it's our show.
Yeah.
I think the people, listen, we're gonna get into Alchemist and Freddie Gibbs, and we are absolutely gonna get into the state of our world, but I'm gonna venture to say you guys need a break. So let us be your break. And honestly, I need a break. Because I've been inundated with that stuff for the last 2 weeks. So I would like to just talk about something good and decent and fire, which is the album. So yeah, let's talk about the album now. Why not?
Okay. So we started working on this in one form or another. I mean, I think we really started working on this last year effectively, right? Like there were some songs, one song in particular that was kind of percolating before then, and that's the first song you hear, AO.
Yep.
You had a different verse to that initially, right?
Maybe.
Like a test. You were testing some stuff out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember, but maybe. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we tried some things out, but really we started to really work on this project when you came out to Connecticut. This was Labor Day last year.
Yep.
And I had prepared a whole like batch of beats, and I was like, all right, and I got some notes and here's some stuff I want to play. Some of the songs I knew, I was like, yeah, this is one. And some of them I was like, let's play and see what he likes. And so that's kind of where we started. Coming out of that weekend, I think we knew 7 of the 8 songs that we wanted on here, right? They weren't finished. They weren't done. We did some tweaks. You had to write lyrics in some cases.
Yep. Yep.
You had to do a couple different takes for verses. We had to come up with ideas, but we knew it, roughly speaking, 7 of the 8 beats, everything except for Crew, track 6, which, it's called Crew because, well, we'll talk about that in a second, I guess. We should go track by track on this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's give it the Clock Radio Speakers run through.
But I'm trying to sort of set the stage here. So we did a little bit of work then. We actually, including 2 of these beats, they were existed in a very rough form, and like that weekend we actually like made them, we actually like just sort of finished them, got them done basically. The other ones were more or less mostly done with some tweaks and things that needed to happen. And then, you know, progress slowed down for a little bit. We had some things going on.
Oh boy, life happened. I was fighting for creativity. I was extremely discouraged as a writer and as an artist. I got married. So we had a pandemic, some things happened. So I really fought to write this album. Like, I'm not gonna hold you. Some albums come really easy to write. Even If I Lose was a fairly easy album to write. 40 Days was an easy album to write. This was not an easy project to write. I fought for a lot of these records. Ironically, Crew, trying to think if there was anything else. Crew, Let 'Em See, A Cut, Power 2, those were easier, but some of those records I fought. Ayo, I fought tooth and nail for.
Yeah.
Follow 3, I fought tooth and nail for. Like, yeah, this album was not easy to write. And excuse me, that had everything to do with just life, man.
Yeah.
Life. It was hard. But we got it done.
We got it done. We really started pushing through was during the pandemic, right?
Yes, because I was able to work from home.
That helps.
So once I got into a decent routine, about maybe 4 weeks in, 3-4 weeks in. And also shout out to my wife, my wonderful wife. She basically like put me on a schedule. And she was like, every Monday, you're going to do something, something musical. You're going to do something. Right. And so I did that. And I think I did I Am the One too on a Monday. And I was really happy with how I came out. I actually got footage of it. I was happy with how I came out. And then I was like, I don't want to wait until Monday. So I did a couple of records in bunches.
Yeah.
And then instead of doing them every Monday, I would go like 2 weeks, 3 weeks without doing anything. And then I'd do another bunch. And then I'd do another bunch. And Doc was on top of everything with the mixes. And I wanted to make sure that the mixes were good, but we didn't like go the dreamer on them. I wanted to make sure that this felt, there was like a feel of spontaneity to it. I think that was important. I wanted it to be like a moment in the bottle. I wanted it to feel like that instead of, you know, something that was overthought. And I listened to the album yesterday, like now that everything's like done and out of the way, that first listen after you're not listening for the mix and all that.
Right.
I'm like, yo, I was like, yo, this album is really, really good. And it felt good to go through it. So
there's only one song on here I'm not in love with the mix on, and I've made my peace with it. It's fine.
Okay. Don't tell the audience. Don't tell them, because then they're going to hear it.
Then they're going to hear it too. But you know what? Actually, what gave me some more peace was actually today I had some peace, because we'll talk about this album later. I was listening to the Alfredo project on this morning. I have a dog now, and I was walking the dog. And I was walking around, and I was nitpicking the mix on this project. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, you know, Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist are okay with, you know, a sample being too loud here or there, or this sort of thing. Like, I can back off a little bit. I can relax. It was good. It was good perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway,
because nobody's going to hear the album the way that you hear it.
Right.
Nobody's going to hear it.
Right. So anything else you want to say before we start going track by track?
No, I'm ready to go track by track.
All right. I need to pull up. I want to make sure I have, because I want to talk like, it's for me, it's useful to know, like, because I think about things, timelines, like how old is this beat and stuff like that. All right, I got that over there. All right.
Okay.
So the first song is AO.
Mm-hmm. Produced by Doc.
That's right. Produced by me. Just shortcut. Everything's produced by me on this album.
There we go.
The first voice you hear is the original first lady of Clock Radio Speakers, Marissa.
Yep.
We decided, we did a whole bunch of takes, and this is what we used. We almost did almost like a little skit opening where like Marissa goes right into the, because she's the voice of at the beginning of Clock Radio Speakers of every episode, right? You're now listening to Clock Radio Speakers of the month, right? And she was the what we almost went with is she starts doing that, and then I kind of interrupt her and I go, no, this isn't for the podcast, you know, this is for the album. And then she pushed, we did not script this, we were just riffing, and she like paused for a second. And then she goes, wait, y'all make music? And I just started dying. But then I realized, you know what? That's like an inside joke on an inside joke. Like this just, that was almost making the intro not as accessible as it needed to be. Because, you know, there's going to be somebody who listens to this who doesn't listen to the show.
Absolutely.
So AO is what we open with. Did we always know that this was going to be the intro?
Yes, I did at least.
Why is that?
The drama of the sample into the drums.
Yeah.
It's a very dramatic beat. And it, the way that it builds up is just super fire. Fun fact, I originally wrote this verse to Nas's Bonjour.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a tidbit for the listeners out there. You know, I was working on Snooze Button 5 at the time.
Yeah.
And I was just like snatching up beats. And I think on one episode of the show, we talked about how hard Bonjour was. And I think I want to say, I was like, I should rap over that. So I ended up finding a beat. I rapped to it. And then I was like, it was one of those times I was forcing the music where I was like, I need to put something down to this, because I was having trouble like writing to this. And I found that beat, I found that verse in my notes, and I was like, yo, this is perfect. And then I found out from there, I immediately thought of how I wanted to map out the song, like the song structure. So yeah, yeah, I love it. Yeah, the sample is crazy.
I love that sample. Yeah. Drums are super hard. It's a it's kind of a slow tempo for like a doc boom bap kind of beat.
Yes. Yes. You start off slow.
Start off a little slow. I'm all over the place with tempos here.
Yes. And that's a good thing. That's what I appreciate. Yeah. It was slow, and I think it was okay. You know, I've been in my Griselda bag a little bit, so you know, I honestly, listening to them hit beats really slow is helping me approach slower tempo records. You know, we recently, Taylor and I recently rapped over West Side Guns Versace called
Killed That.
Man, that felt so good. That felt so good to get off. Like, that was like vintage, like Kairos Armand. Like, that was a good place I was writing from. And yeah, Taylor and I have been, I'm gonna shut up. But so it was slower, but listening to Griselda, listening to them hit beats that slow kind of helped me figure out how I wanted to do it, because I didn't want to rap too fast. The tip, honestly, I wrote for the beat. Like, I wanted to make sure that like I was just skating on the beat, and what I was saying was secondary, because I knew there were going to be other spaces for me to really talk.
Yeah, I call it 860. I was about to say 860 because that's how I think of this. That's the beat number for this. No, man, your verses on AO are crazy. I love this record. Every time I love that it opens the album, because like I've been walking around like listening to this, like trying to in different environments, trying to, you know, even though I'm trying not to overthink it, you know me, I'm gonna overthink it. And I'm just like, when it starts the album that way, it's just like, oh, I love it. Love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm so happy with AO.
That's what's up.
The second track, Let 'Em See. This is, let me get the time frame on this right. I think this is like, this is, yeah, April of 2019. So this is not the newest thing for sure. But this used to be a different song altogether.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a rough of this from 2 days after I made the beat. That's how I know you like it.
Yeah. 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 That it was such a crazy tempo, but I knew. I had an idea of how I wanted to hit it, but over time it broke down. And shout out to Jonathan Baker, who really helped me. He listened to an early take and he actually helped me, because I was like, I don't really like the hook, but I like how I'm skating on the beat. So help me like strip it down. So he was like saying, you don't need to say and here, the here. You can, you know, say the word and it says the same thing as if you said the sentence. Like just little writer tips that he gave me. And yeah, I love this record. This is a great record. Seems to be getting a fairly good response. People like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm biased. I love this song. This beat, Armand had been asking me to use gospel samples for a long time on this show.
2004. Let me tell you, that was the first time I sent. That's the first time I sent Doc samples. That's the first time I sent Doc some gospel samples. And I remember.
Would it be like AIM get file? 2004?
No, let me tell you. Yes, it was AIM. Let me tell you, I was sad because I sent you some fire and your response was, what am I supposed to do with this? I was like, dang, man.
I didn't know what to do with it then. That's true. Yeah.
It was, I mean, 2004, people aren't using gospel samples. So it's kind of weird.
I didn't know what I was doing then anyway.
Yeah, also true.
Yeah, also very true. This is the first, how many gospel, there's two gospel samples in this project?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were both made back to back within the span of like 4 days from each other. But yeah, I think we had been, you know, this was originally called Never Be.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew this, we wanted this to be on the project, but I think once you came back at it last month, I'm losing track of time. April?
Yeah,
May,
about
sometime.
A month ago. Yeah.
About a month
yeah,
or so ago. Yeah. Maybe yeah, something like that. I mean, we're in June now, which sounds crazy. When you sent that over, I was just like, oh, good. Come on, man.
Thank you.
Your flow is ridiculous on this.
Thank you.
Flow's ridiculous. Yes. This is turning into a mutual admiration society. This is great.
It is.
but no, let him see. I making this beat, I'm trying to both be detailed and also not do too much, which sounds like a contradiction, right? So like on the one hand, it's, you know, I'm not, this sample is not like incredibly chopped within an inch of its life, which I do at another point in this project, but you know, or other points in this project, I should say, but you know, I'm trying to, I'm doing some little bit of different things with, you know, some percussion, and I'm trying to figure out how to, like, I wanted this to have like a really warm, like, feeling to it, you know? I'm trying to get better at exactly what I was saying before. I'm just repeating myself now, but I'm trying to get better at like having little interesting details without being so overly complicated that you can't even pay attention to what the rapper is trying to say. And I feel like I did a decent job of that with Let Him See. I'm happy. I'm so happy with the song. I'm so happy that people like it. It's why, I mean, as soon as we heard it, we were like, yeah, this is the first single. As soon as we heard what you rapped to, I was like, yep, that's it.
Yeah, for sure.
Next up is Rappity Raps and Beatty McBeatmakers.
Yes.
What's up with this song title? You want to talk about that?
I didn't know what I wanted to call this record. Mm. It was originally called Cream for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need a more creative song title.
Yeah.
And so I just thought about, you know, two phrases that we've coined simply because it's a very, dare I say, it's a little showy?
Sure.
It's a little showy. The beat's a little showy, and I'm just rappity rapping. There's no hook. It's just a verse.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those on the album. So there's some rappity raps, and then it's a showy beat, which is, you know, what you have commonly described as a Beatty McBeatmaker. So,
yeah. So this is one of the songs where we had this, we did this when you came out to Connecticut. So I've been going through this phase the past like year and a half, 2 years where I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid to try to revisit something that has been used before, but let's see what else I can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know, I actually really enjoy taking on, because there's a number of these on the project where it's like, that's a sample that maybe I should stay away from, but you know what? Let's see what I can do with it. And so I had a couple, like, not even like loops, more like I had like some ideas of like chops just sitting in a saved file. And I was like, you know what? I'll come back to that someday. And Armand and I are sitting here just browsing through like my Ableton files, basically like listening to old stuff when he was here. And we come across it, and Armand's like, what about, you know, you picked up on it immediately. Of all the beats in the project, this was the one originally where I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's good enough. But then we sat there and I had some chops in, but it wasn't what it is now. And it was literally just like experimentation. It's like, oh, what if we try this combo? What if we try this combo? What if we do this? What if we do this? And then, you know, we had enough to make it into a sequence. And man, you're getting your bars off. This is dope.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm a sucker for obvious samples.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there was some stuff in there, and we found it on the Sampletron 9000. So that was a lot of fun to make that one, and another record that we'll talk about later.
Yeah,
those are probably the most fun to make because it was really getting to play with those chops. You know, when we made Morning Run for Snooze Button 4, like that was my first time like actually like panning out a beat, find like, oh my god, when you find the sample and how you, it's a, that feeling is like euphoric. So you know, that happened again here. We kind of thought about like, did you ever tighten it up?
I
talked about it wasn't done.
Yeah. So, I'll get real nerdy here. The samples were, I didn't really pay attention to how like sloppily they were chopped, and like, it sounds like it doesn't matter. But when I was going to mix this, the final version, I was like, oh, like it was actually difficult to get some of the stuff right, because what I was fighting and trying to make Armand's voice sit on the beat well, what I was fighting was that there was like these weird like sort of where the loop kind of comes back on around itself and it wasn't meeting at the right point. This is one of those records where I was experimenting with like, do I want some drums on this? Is there so much going on with the sample that the answer is actually just strip it all the way out? Ended up there's no extra drums on this. I'm like EQing and I'm highlighting stuff. I'm doing all sorts of stuff like that to manipulate the audio, but no extra drums, just whatever's in the sample itself. And I went back, I tightened it up, and it made everything a lot cleaner, a lot easier to do. Sometimes the details matter, you know, but this is a case where it was really just like what was interesting for me about like putting this together is like, you make the beat, and then once I hear it, like you rap on it, and it's like, oh, okay, like this is a record where like I definitely need to make sure that like it feels a certain kind of way so that your voice can stick out in it. Because people need to hear what you're rapping on this. You know what I mean? Like, it's the details for your verses that matter here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Track four is I Am The One Too.
Yep.
How you feel about this record?
Okay. So let me say, I love the record, but like, I don't know if I want to tell like the real story.
Well,
you may not be able to.
Okay. But. Well, then I'll say this much. So this is an obvious sample from a much loved album from 20 years ago. And oh my God, 20 years. And this is one of those cases where I was making breakfast in the morning and I was playing that album again and I heard the beat, and immediately in my head I was like, oh my God, how has nobody ever slowed this down?
Mm.
I heard this happens so infrequently with me. I wish it did. A lot of times I'll sit down and I'll be like, what can I do with this? And I, you know, try to make something out of nothing, or I go like digging for samples and I'll find something. In this case, like I heard it play and I was like, oh, I immediately know I need to slow this down.
Mm.
And I slowed it way down. And then I was like, what else is in the sample that I can find? And I found other stuff in the sample. And then I was like, all right, you know, because by the, like, Up before this project, I haven't really put out a lot of the stuff I've been doing, where I've been using more modern like 808s and trap drums, right? I've actually been using 808 kicks for a very long time. My old, like when I, the old beats I used to, I mean, goodness, go back and listen to like Child of God. Like there's an 808 there. You just, what I was doing is, I'll get real nerdy here, I would take like a regular like boom bapish kind of a kick, cut out the entire, like everything under like, I don't know, 120 hertz basically, like just cut out everything but that top part. And then I would take an 808 kick and I would cut off so that all you're hearing is that super low bit, and basically combine those two into one kick, making like my own kick basically. That was because I've historically struggled with bass lines. And so that was my way to make my boom bapish kind of kicks hit a little harder. But this project and songs like I Am The One Too and Follow Three and even Let Him See to a certain extent, like I'm really experimenting with more modern drums. And so I was like, oh, we're just gonna let it all go. Like, and once I figured out, like, because the sample is kind of so spacious, I was like, yeah, we need to make this bass, we need to turn this bass all the way up. And that's like, I love that aspect of it. It's so just like in your face in a good way, but the sample is kind of sitting back there. I don't know. I'm a big fan. I love this record. I love the way this project starts. This is great.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I can't tell the story that I want to tell.
You can't tell the story you want to tell. We should save that maybe for next week's Patreon or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do that. But yeah, I love this record. I'll say that. I love this record. I love this record.
Yeah. Power 2.
Yes.
This is the second gospel sample on the project.
Yes.
When you heard this beat from me initially, did you kind of know, oh yeah, this is one we're using, or did you have to think
about
it?
Oh yeah, immediately. Yeah. Immediately. Yep. Yep. Actually, all these beats were immediate.
Yeah.
You didn't have to convince me. Normally you don't. You right. don't say, yo, I really think you, like, that normally doesn't happen.
Right.
I usually know when I hear it, like, all right, I'm going to use, this is definitely for the album. There wasn't anything that, like, got cut that we were kind of working on. Like, yeah. like Doc said, like, by the time I left Connecticut, I pretty much knew. And the only other thing Doc was making beats and trying to like help me with my writer's block.
Yeah.
That's where Crew came out of. But anything else, like there's nothing that's just sitting on where I'm like, I really wish that would have made it. Like it just right. didn't, I wanted to keep it, you know, exactly what it was. So, yeah, absolutely. Power 2. The minute I heard the beat, I was like, yep, doing this one. I knew the concept and everything, because if you've gone to any one of my live shows over the last, oh, I don't know, 6 years, I performed this record called Power that is not available. It's not out.
Yeah.
And excuse me. You know, like if you know my discography, you know, I like sequels. And when I heard that, I was like, yep, this is because of what the sample is saying. This is going to be a sample. It's going to be a sequel. Same concept. I originally just rapped the original verses over part two.
Mm.
And I was like, this is kind of lazy. This doesn't really go. so I ended up writing I wrote it like on a Friday morning, like before work. I got up early, did some reading, did some praying, and it just flew. And I was like, this is exactly it. And I think that day I recorded three records.
Yeah.
Three for the album and then one, like another record. I think it might have been Gems Not Germs. Something else I recorded with that or wrote to. I knew this is where I was going to go for sure. I really like this record. My original idea on this was to get Taylor and sort of do like a, we had an idea for like a challenge.
Yeah.
Like a power challenge to get some rappers to rap on it. But then I got really possessive and said, I don't want anybody else rapping on this. And that's not why I didn't get Taylor, but that is why I didn't release it publicly. Like, nah, we're not doing it.
Yeah, because we had thought for a little while, like, oh, we should put this out and like leave a whole bunch of the beat open and see if we can get anybody else to kind of do something with it. Because it's a pretty, there's not a lot of complicated stuff going on with this beat.
No, not at all.
It's mostly a loop, a little chop here and there. And some, I'll just be totally honest. Some Alchemist drums that I've chopped and stolen. And that's power too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we slow things down quite a bit with Crew, which, yes. Let's see, that's from, and I made that, I think I made that like the end of January.
As I said, that was definitely the winter.
Yeah, end of January, we recorded, what all I remember is we recorded an episode of the show and we talked about this and I was like, I wonder if I can figure that out. And so I went, you know, thank God for the internet, right? Like quickly, you know, immediately go, who sampled, find the original sample. And I'm like, I'm listening to it. I was like, oh, how do they? Okay. So most of it's pretty straightforward. You hear the guitar loop and I'm like, huh, all right. How do they get that other part? And then I figure it out. And then I was like, all right, I see what they did. And then I just did that. And I was like, all right, I'm going to send this loop to Armand. And I figured I'd come back the next day and, you know, put some drums on it or, you know, flip it or do whatever. And it turned out, nah, actually, less is more sometimes. That's a hard lesson for me to learn.
Yeah, it didn't need anything to it. And I was afraid, because sometimes what you'll do is you'll mix something and you'll be like, yeah, let's throw some drums on there. You'll throw drums. It's like, we don't need it. The way it is, it's perfect.
Right.
And, you know, based off of where I go lyrically, it's perfect because it gives me the space and the platform to do that. So, you know, I don't really get into my transparent bag like I used to, but that kind of broke some stuff. I ain't gonna lie, like that was really good to get off. And I think I wouldn't have been able to write Praise Jesus 2 had I not wrote this first, because it's kind of like those two verses connect a little bit. There's some overlapping in terms of what I'm talking about and stuff like that. So actually a lot of what I wrote, Gems Not Germs, most of the verses that I've released lately, like came after Crew, I would say. Yep. Yep. A lot of those tie back to this verse. So it's imperative to listen just for the wake up story for sure.
Crew is ridiculous. This is, when I heard this, I was like, man, like, you killed us. This is one of my favorite verses from you.
Wow.
Crew is crazy. You're doing a lot because, you know, you're telling a story and you're kind of opening up the curtain a little bit on what's going on. But also, like, you know, you're getting in your rappy rap bag, you know, it's a lot of alliteration at point. You big on alliteration on this project. I noticed that. Is that a typical thing for you? I'm just now realizing because it really hit me on this project.
What's alliteration?
So like when you start like multiple words in a bar with the same letter?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Multiple words in a bar with the same letter.
Or the same sound, right? So.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. I love bending words to make another word. Absolutely. I have oh my God, I wrote something yesterday. But yes. I do that a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I did it until somebody else pointed it out. So you're maybe the second or third person to say, to point it out. But yes, I really enjoy doing that. It's a yes. God bless the English. Mm. I actually learned that from Royce and M. Royce does that a lot. Yeah, Royce does that a lot. So I picked up on that for sure. I think Royce is better at it than M too, but M does it.
Was it weird to rap to a 6-bar loop?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I just wrote to a 6-bar loop the other day. No. Because all you got to do is just finish the, you have more space to finish the, like, the section of bars. Cause I like to, you know, I like to thread everything that I'm talking about and then call back to things. So instead of making sure that I get everything in that four bar setup, I have an extra two bars to, to get it together.
Right.
So no, not at all. Not at all. And sometimes you can do it where you, if you're writing in an eight bar stanza, you can get, you can fit the eight bars into six and then like the last two just go over. It still works. Yeah, that's not hard at all. It's not hard at all.
Okay. Track seven, Peebo Bryson. I'll let people figure out why we called it Peebo Bryson.
Yep.
No, for any lawyers listening, no reason. I mean, just, you know, really paying homage to Peebo.
Yeah, I love Peebo Bryson. One of my favorite singers. My mom used to listen to him a lot. So I just want to, just want to pay homage. That's all.
So this beat came around. So I had been playing around with the sample January 2019, but I was sitting on it and didn't really do anything with it until Armand came out here in September, late August, early September of 2019. It was one of those things where I had it at a particular tempo, the slower tempo that you hear at the beginning, I think, and I didn't really know what else to do with it. And I loaded it up and I think you were literally sitting there and you were just like, look, like just, you were like telling me like, just try something basically. And the chop that you hear is literally the first thing I chop. Is I picked a certain spot in the sample on the pads and I just picked that tempo out of nowhere and I started playing it out on the pads and we just looked at each other and we were like, well, that's it.
Yeah, I didn't want to think too hard. It wasn't necessary to think too hard on that. So
I think the only other thing we had to figure out was, okay, we've got this chop and the sequence, so what do we do with it? How do we transition in or out? And we had the idea to start with the slow tempo and then jump right into it and then slow it back down again on the way out, because the whole point is we wanted it to make you feel like, oh, they're going to start back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, ah, and then you get right to the next song.
Yep.
That beat for me, I worked a lot on this beat, even though it's incredibly simple, because I kept thinking, I can put drums on this.
No, my original plan or idea was, we need songs and then we need like two interludes where it's just a sample and I'm rapping a 16 and I want to sort of tease the listener.
Yeah.
We ended up making more of those, but
yeah,
you know, for the most part, it worked out.
Yeah. And right up until the last minute, I actually had like very light drums, like in certain, like under the mix on this beat. I don't even think I told you this. I had it all the way up and you said it was fine. And then literally the last like second, I just took it out. I was like, it doesn't need it. It does not need it.
Yeah,
it was right. It didn't need it.
Nope. Not at all.
And then we get to Follow Three. Is this the hardest record to make on the project?
Yes. I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I had no idea what to do.
This also comes from January 2019 was a very productive period for me. This also comes from January 2019. This is also a case where I was like, so I love the, so if you're a fan of the show and you listen to this, this song, you're probably going to know what sample this is. I'm not going to say it because they happen to be litigious, but I love this. I love this sample so much. But what's interesting about this sample is the part that has been used before and the part I use on the intro is, that's really like the only cool part of the song to sample, in my opinion.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, so like, what do you do with it? You know, I try to challenge, this is a challenge I give to myself all the time because I think it's a good way to like continue to like hopefully get better. It's to be like, what can I possibly do with it? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right. So I just started like really, this is one of those kinds, I went super deep. I was like, all right, what if I like manipulate this chop this way and this way? And so, you know, I was like, slow the tempo down and do this and play around with it. And I sent you like an early version and you're like, oh, do this and this. And then I did this with this. And then pretty quickly, the general idea of this beat came together anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And it's a lot. There's definitely some like Busta Rhymes 2000s thing going on here a little bit. There's a lot happening with this beat.
Yes.
But I promise you, I did not have a half circle of keyboards around me when I made it, because that's all the sample. Like, all that stuff, it's the samples just chopped and repeated and flipped and done all sorts of stuff. And yeah, this is, I mean, honestly, if anything's a BD McBeatmaker beat on this project, it's Follow 3. And I own that for sure.
Yeah.
So why was this the hardest one to rap over? Is it just because there was too much going on with the beat, or?
I didn't know what I wanted to say on it. Yeah. It was one of those, it was a beat, and some of these beats, man, like they kind of come off like beat battle beats.
This Follow 3 is 100% a beat battle beat. Ayo is definitely a beat battle beat.
Yeah.
I could see Power 2 being a beat battle beat too, because it's not complicated, but like that intro builds up. But yeah, yep. Follow 3 is, oh man, that's peak, like, you know, you get everybody all excited and the tempo, they hear the sample. Oh, I know that sample. Then you up the tempo. Oh, he's up in the tempo. And then I completely deconstruct the sample ever. And everyone's like, oh, like that's what you hope happens. Right.
Yep. Yeah. So that's why, because it was like, man, this is already doing like enough. What am I going to add to this?
It's doing too much.
You know, but I finally found a pocket. I wrote to that. Originally, my original idea, and I said this to our Patreon audience, but I won't get into detail because I'll give them like the super exclusive. But, you know, my goal was to basically redo Jigga What, Jigga Who. Because I kind of hit a vein, want to act loco, hit him with numerous. And I was just going to start from there. That was actually the beginning of the verse. And I was just rapping, but I didn't like, it was hard to record because it was really wordy. And once JB helped me to write Let Him See, that then bled into how I wrote Follow 3. I was like, nah, I don't need to do all that. Let me find a pocket and let me just exploit the pocket, because I don't need to do much. Again, this is like doc on stage. So I don't need to do much. You know what I'm saying? So we did that. I think I wrote that hook at literally the 11th hour. Like, I was like, I think I might have something. Let me try it tomorrow. And I had it, and I didn't like it initially, but then I heard it after the mix and I was like, oh, this isn't bad. But no, like I like the fact, because originally Crew was going to end the album.
Yeah.
And you were like, nah, I don't want it.
I was like, nah.
You know, like we had it, like you had a track list and I had a track list. My track list ended up winning for the most part.
Yeah.
But you were like, I don't want us to end on like a somber note.
Mm.
I was trying to space out the interludes between the records. Like I was married to that concept. But, you know, the first half, once you get to like the second half of the album, that concept kind of falls off a little bit, because there's Crew and Peebo Bryson like back to back, right?
Crew is more than an interlude.
Yeah, and I think that's what allowed me to, because it's not a rappity rap interlude like that. It feels different because of what I'm rapping about. But you're like, nah, let's end. We just kind of brainstormed and we ended up, you know, compromising on having Follow 3 in. I thought it was perfect.
For me, it was about the momentum, right? Like the first five tracks are just, there's so much energy, and then Crew is just like, you know, like it's Crew is almost like that perfect feeling. Like, I don't know, do you have like any exits off the highway near you where like if you kind of let off the gas at the perfect time, you can kind of coast up? You ever do that as you're like coming off an exit?
It's just like
very nice feeling. It's almost like, to me, Crew is almost like when you're a kid and you're like riding a bike down a hill and you just kind of like let your arms out on the side and you're just kind of coasting. Like, that is the feeling of Crew after Power 2, right? Like, you are just coming down off this, and it's just like this, you know, the sample opens up and there's no drums, and it is just like, it is a palate cleanser, right? And then, okay, we got through that ends. It's kind of a bit of a, you know, it kind of tapers off. Then we go right, and then Peebo Bryson, where you start with the slow part of the sample, picks back up, slows down a bit, and you're like, wait, where am I going? And then we end with like Follow 3, because like there's so much going on Follow 3. I needed Crew to set you up two songs later for Follow 3.
Okay. There we go. I'm with it. And then you, unbeknownst to me, Doc hops on at the end. I won't spoil it, but you know, there's some words exchanged at the end.
You know, some greasy talk, some game spitting. No. I was like, listen, my name's on the cover. I'm feeling some kind of way today. You know, I might have had a little too much tea. I don't really know. But, you know, because honestly, here's what I'm going to say. What I really appreciate about this project is, like, you and I, we are in our mid to late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that I feel like you and I are doing the best work of our careers.
Mm.
And that is just not something that is a given with music. That is not something that is a given with hip hop. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, I'm talking some trash on this, but it's like, number one, that is me paying homage to all the music that we grew up with, right? Like, how many times, like, I mean, maybe me at least, right? Like, I know Puff's ad-libs just as much as I know Big's rhymes, you know? Like, I remember those just as much. And, but for me, it's more just like, when I listen to this project, I'm like, yeah, like, I mean, I love my beats on it, but like, Armand kills this project. So I'm just like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Y'all had a run. Like, I was feeling it. It's true. Like, I love the way you're rapping on this project, man.
Word. Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad I was able to power through it. That was hard. It's writing has never been that hard on a project. And that was the other thing that I wanted to showcase was, for a while, you know, I always have this thing about producers sending me beats that sound like what they think I would rap on versus just sending me good beats. Now I think I've been so vocal about that I don't get that anymore.
Mm.
When producers send me stuff, it's like, it's different. It's definitely different. But I think this was a showcase for me to like, all right, let me get into some different bags. Let me try some different things, because I don't just do the rappity raps, the, you know, proper camera in front of, you know, the microphone and pick a beat and just go in, or I don't do the, you know, I fill away, so let me get these bars off. Like, nah, there's some other stuff I can do too. I'm competent and I'm confident in myself as an MC. And I said this on Instagram stories a few weeks ago, but I feel like if I get on a record or in a cypher with anybody, I will come away memorable. Like, I may not have the best verse, but I'm not going to be an afterthought on the record or in the cypher whatsoever. I will do something. I will say something that will reach the listener. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to showcase that, and I feel like this was an extension of that belief in myself. So yeah, man, we finally freaking did it.
We did it. And and it's out right now, and hopefully y'all listen to it, and hopefully y'all enjoy it. But let us know what you think. Really. Give us your review. We could take it. It'll be all right. And hit us up, Ask the Artist Podcast. But you can find the project on all streaming sites. Armand, where should people go if they really like it and want to show support in the best way possible? Is there a particular place they should go or listen to it? Or
well, you should go to Clock Radio Speakers. You should go to our Patreon. And though we have it, I mean, and Doc, we didn't talk about this, but like, first of all, it's going to be available to purchase on iTunes and all that stuff. If you join our Patreon, you'll get it. You'll be directly supporting us.
Sure.
I'll say. So that would be cool. Even if you just, you know, pay for the month, stick around, catch some of the pre-episodes and some of the other stuff that we offer our listeners. And you know what I'm saying, if you choose to hop off, like, that's cool. But, you know, that's the direct support. That's the best form.
Mm, yeah.
Somebody asked about Bandcamp. I have not placed it on Bandcamp. And as of right now, I don't think I will, because I would rather you purchase it from Patreon. So it'll be there. But as far as like what streaming service, you know, because some people buy and then they stream as well. We had a couple people reach out to us and say they were going to do both. And we appreciate that. From my understanding, Tidal pays the most out. And I was supposed to look this up, but I think
I need to play the Jeopardy music right now.
There we go. 1,250 streams according to Billboard. So somebody would have to stream our project 1,250 times in order for it to be the equivalent of a $10 album purchase. So let me tell y'all, full disclosure, like, I don't really make money from streams like that. A lot of my money comes directly from like direct sales. So if you want to support, and some people have asked, how can they support? Do I have a Cash App? Whatever, whatever. Just join the Patreon, and that'll work. That'll work. That'll work. We have a goal of hitting, I think we're trying to hit like $500 a month or something like that. We got a little ways to go. Not too bad though, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that would be really dope because that money goes towards, you know, I mean, I stack it, but you know, it's, you know, that money goes to a lot of different places. Like whenever we need something or, you know, if something needs to happen, like we can just pull into the funds.
And I mean, when Armand came out to Connecticut, we worked on the album, like that came from like literally the money for those tickets came right out of that. You know, yeah. When we buy new mics, when we buy new equipment, we do new stuff, like comes right out of that. We really appreciate it. We really do.
Yep. So that would be the best direct way to support, I would say. But Tidal, I believe, pays out the most if you're streaming. Spotify has the best analytics and Apple Music is Apple Music. So, you know, whichever way you stream, we appreciate it. But
yeah,
I would highly recommend if you're really trying to support and you have the means to do so. I know we're in a pandemic and people are, you know, not able to afford lots of luxuries. Take care of home first. You know what I'm saying? But if you have, you know, a 10 to spare, head over to the Patreon and support us directly.
All right. Speaking of music, we got another project to talk about this week.
Yes, we do.
You are surprisingly excited to talk about Frederick Gibbs. What is So Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist.
Yep.
Joining forces for Alfredo, which until this morning I was stupid and didn't realize. Oh, Alan Fred.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
A little slower in my old age. Alchemist has like made almost like a I don't know. Like, this is really like he cornered the market on this whole. I mean, a lot of people do it now, but I feel like he really cornered the market on sort of like shorter projects. But it's him and another rapper combo for the project. Move on to something different.
Yep.
And so
he's been killing it. He's dead. Action Bronson, Boldy James, Conway the Machine. His first one was with Currency.
Yeah.
Front Currency and Freddie Gibbs a few years ago. He did one with Currency a while ago. He's been doing this for a while. It just kind of picked up this year.
And Freddie Gibbs has been doing these kind of projects with Madlib for sure.
Yes.
We talked about Bandana last year, I think, right?
Yes. Many people had that in their their top album of the year, top three. I saw Complex gave Madlib producer of the year. Like, really? People really like that project.
That the instrumental Bandana beats, you could just listen to them on streaming services. We've talked about this before. That's a really like, that really will grow on you. Like, I can just let that play in the background and all of a sudden I'm going to have a very productive morning.
Yeah. So am I when I listen to those beats. there's definitely some productivity going on one of those records in particular. And if you listen to the show, you know which one.
Yeah.
I'm throwing out so many hints.
You really are. You have not been the biggest fan of Freddie Gibbs in this show.
At all.
That might be the understatement of the week.
At all. I think he's extremely overrated.
Ooh.
He's a mumble rapper in
so many words. Mumble rapper?
I for every project that I've heard of Gibbs, I can't understand what he's saying. I hear thuggin'.
Oh no.
And I hear coke. Uh-huh. And I hear the B word. That's about it. Everything else, I can't understand it. Until now.
Until now.
Yep.
I didn't realize we were making a face turn tonight on the show.
A little bit.
Okay.
But actually, it's something else. I know why I'm making the face turn.
There's a swerve coming at the end of all this? A
little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
We can go track by track on this if you want.
We can do it quickly because I think we have a lot.
We
to get
still have
to.
A lot to get to. And it's...
A whole lot to get to. So let's speed through this because okay. I have a hot take that
okay.
I would like to share with our audience.
I think 1985 is fine, I guess. I skip it.
It's cool. Okay. It's cool. It's a cool intro. Cool intro. But he already is solving the Freddie. Alchemist already solves the Freddie Gibbs problem on track one.
Which is?
He slows the beat down and the type of samples that he picks. He makes Freddie slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some beats where he gets his butter, butter, butter on, but I can hear him. He's clear as day on this album, and that I appreciate. And so when I hear him clearly, I'm like, oh, he can rap. You know what I'm saying? But that goes on. That's showcased a little later on some joints for sure. Let's keep going.
God is perfect. This is a nice beat.
Eh.
And I like this because it's not a showy beat, so Gibbs gets to do all his Gibbs stuff.
Yeah,
which you don't want to hear.
Nah, give me Alchemist.
Right.
Showy Alchemist too.
The beat switch at the end of this is dope though, and I wish they would have rapped on it.
I didn't even get that far.
Scotty Beam with your man Rick Ross. This is all right.
Oh,
this is fine. I've heard Alchemist do 500 beats like this,
and I just like Ross in Justice League.
And I've heard this Rick Ross verse 25 times.
And just like every other Rick Ross, I don't care. Like, remember that video came out of Ross and Alchemist working on the studio together.
He was supposed
to be on something, Port of Miami 2 or something like that, and it never happened.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like, if they did a project together, oh boy. I need it.
I would need Alchemist to bring his A game. Because
I think he would.
Well, here's my hot take. I think Alchemist, like, there is definitely a quantity over quality thing for a lot of these beats, but his floor is so high.
Yes.
That even if he's given you his ant game, it's all listenable and at worst and probably pretty good at best.
Yes.
Right. But no, I think Scotty Beam is fine. I think I don't think this beat is amazing. It's fine.
And beat is crazy. Gibbs is all right, but I really like Ross on this. But you guys know I'm a Ross stan, so
yeah.
It's cool.
Now Look At Me is ridiculous.
When I heard this, I said Doc loves this. It's too slow for me.
Oh my goodness.
It's too slow for me.
That beat is crazy.
And repetitive.
It's
slow and repetitive for me.
It's great.
I heard this and immediately was like, I already knew what time it was.
I like Freddie on this. This beat, this Alchemist beat is great. I love Look At Me.
Yeah.
But all right, so I can see you and I are gonna have, we're coming at this from different angles. Frank Lucas with your man Benny the Butcher. Boy,
this record is crazy.
I like this beat.
When Alchemist gives like his like dangerous beats to Griselda. Like, I feel he has like a beat folder of different types. Like, he has Luxurious. Those are for Ross. Dangerous goes to Griselda.
Yeah, this beat is good. Gibbs is good. But Benny, my gosh.
Destroys it. Oh, my God. It was either Law School or Dog Food. If I made y'all moves, we would all lose. What? Crazy. Crazy. Yeah, Benny destroys this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a dope record.
We'll get to Conway in a second.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. No. I mean, Frank Lucas is crazy.
Is fire. Fire. One of my favorite records on the album. Fire.
How do you feel about Something to Rap About with Tyler?
Oh, my God. This is what should have been on the West Side Gun album.
Hmm.
This is how Tyler should have rapped. Because Tyler, he says, this sounds like the beat I ain't bought yet. That was so dope. Again, a Tyler stan, so I love the verse. I just skipped the Tyler's verse. I like the beat. It does sound like it should have gone on. That's another Alchemist project that I love, Yacht Rock 2. Sounds like it should have went on that. I need Tyler and Alchemist.
Mm.
Tyler and Alchemist would be crazy. I'm here for it. I like Alchemist making beats for his friends because for the most part, like the rappers he picks, he works with are pretty good. But give me some A-game guys. Like, Tyler would benefit off of that. Ross would benefit off of working with Alchemist. Like, I'm here for it. And where we stand now, like, that budget is non-existent. I think the only thing that would be in danger is them, like, clearing those samples because they've got more ears on them. I need Alchemist I need Tyler and Ross to do Alchemist projects. That would be crazy. But yeah, I like this record.
I like this beat. It's nice and laid back. I think Gibbs is good on this too. But Tyler is definitely, he's getting his bag.
Yep. Yep.
We'll call this baby-ish. Next one.
Baby stuff.
Yeah. I like this song. I like this beat. I like Gibbs on this. This is a good record.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm noticing okay. A trend here.
Yes. Yes. Are you surprised?
Yeah. Do you have a version of this album that you've cut up in Adobe Audition, which is just the guests?
Ooh. No, but I have found many of the instrumentals.
Yeah.
The instrumentals are floating out there. And I don't even want to rap over them. I just like listening to them.
Let's talk about a song that does not work.
Don't do this.
Babies and Fools is not. It's not.
Oh, right. Babies and Fools is crazy.
I do not like this beat at all.
Oh, that beat is ridiculous.
No, it's the wrong vibe altogether.
Nah, that beat is crazy. It might also be because I like 80s R&B Quiet Storm.
Mm.
And this is clearly where this comes from.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no. It doesn't. Like, I like Conway on this, but this beat just is not. The tone of the beat feels off.
Mm.
Like, the way that they're rapping, the beat doesn't sound like it fits that to me. Not for me.
Okay. No, I love it.
This one should have stayed in the. Yeah, sorry.
I love it. I love it. I would have taken what was track two? God is Perfect.
Yeah.
That's the one where I'm like, I didn't need this.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I love this record. Have you seen, let me just reiterate, I really like this record. So yeah. I don't want to like over, because I don't really want to talk about it other than I really like this record.
Okay.
But have you seen this track list floating around for Conway's major label debut?
No, I don't think so.
Let me pull it up.
Okay.
Okay, so the name of the album is From a King to a God. I'm about to text it to you.
Okay.
And so he's got a record called True Bethel with 2 Chainz, and he's got the Drake feature.
Okay.
Called, I don't know what 50 C is. I'm not a thug. I don't.
It's produced by Murda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you're looking, I'm sure. A lot of Beat Butch and Derringer, so there are records that sound like they're samples, but they're not.
He's got a Havoc beat.
He's got Havoc. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So, I thought that was interesting because
Dej Loaf produced by Hit Boy.
See, and that's the thing. Hit Boy and Drake, two artists that were immediately connected to Benny the Butcher, but Conway gets them first.
Mm.
It's like, what's Benny waiting on?
But this is not. Interesting. This is not this is not Shady Records or anything like that.
I thought it was. It's not.
I don't think so.
I'm almost positive. I thought it was Shady Records.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're using Beat Butcher because I thought, let me think. Did they sign? Oh, maybe they just, and maybe I'm wrong, because maybe they signed Wes and Benny and they did not sign Conway. Or did they sign Wes and Conway and not sign Benny? I think it was they signed Wes and Benny and didn't sign Conway. No. They definitely signed Conway because Conway had the record with M.
Mm.
So no, Conway is on Shady Records. I think this is a Shady Records debut.
Okay.
I think it's Shady Records. I don't know when is this coming out? Just this 20. I'm sure it's coming soon. And then he might add the Frontlines record to it.
Mm.
Makes sense.
We got two more records on this. Skinny Shug. Beat is cool. Gibbs is cool. This is fine.
I like it. It's cool. It's cool. Solid.
It's solid. Yeah, very solid.
Yep.
And All Glass. I like this beat.
I don't remember All Glass. I'm not going to hold you.
That's okay. And I like this one too. Yeah, it's interesting. You and I agree mostly on the songs that are solid, but the songs that you don't like are the ones that I like and vice versa. Interesting.
There it is.
So your overall hot take is Gibbs needs to slow down.
Yes. Slow down, take your time. He does that. And I think Gibbs, you know, like, I'm not blown away by Gibbs, but I am blown away because I can actually understand him. This is the first project where I can clearly hear what he's saying on the project. And he's not like, because some of those Madlib beats get really busy.
Yeah.
And like Gibbs just kind of does his Gib thing. And it doesn't flow right. It doesn't sound right. Whereas on these beats, on these beats, Alchemist kind of like spaces them out. So even though there's a lot going on, there's still enough space for Fred to come in and work. And I think he does a great job. Like it's not album of the year, but I'm pleasantly surprised. And it does lead to my Alchemist hot take.
What's your Alchemist hot take?
We got to start putting him in some GOAT conversations.
Because
when you think about it, like that, this is Alchemist broke through in 99.
Yeah.
So he's been doing this for 20 years. He's got hit records. He's got like 3 iterations of himself. This is like the 3rd resurgence of Alchemist. Like, if he was still making the beats that he was making in 99, if he was still making the beats he was making in 2004, he would sound dated. But for whatever reason, he's found a way to make like sample-based music not sound dated. Like there's some talent in that. That's not easy. So maybe he doesn't have a chronic or he doesn't have a, you know, a definitive album, but like the name Alchemist holds some serious weight to me. And the way people talk about Madlib, you got to put some more respect on Alchemist's name for that. Like, Madlib is dope. But Madlib, I can tell that Madlib overthinks a lot. Madlib's beats sound thinky McThink beats sometimes. Sometimes it's just let the loop play and it's perfect. You know, No More Parties in L.A., I love that beat because it's just a loop. And that's exactly what you need to do. Loop it up and filter it to where it makes the drums and the bass come out. But Alchemist just like records that are on a cutting room floor that people have never heard in their life are just amazing. Like what? Why is Nas too late on some random compilation that nobody knows about? Alchemist put Migos and Mac Miller on a record together and it was fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we need to put him in some, like with the way people go, they go Dre. What do they go as far as hip hop producers? They go Dre, Kanye, RZA. What else, Doc? Who else?
They might say Just Blaze.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then people go, oh, you got to talk about Havoc and Eric Sermon and Pete Rock. You got to put Alchemist like in either in that conversation or right above them.
It's interesting. I think his career is a real argument for valuing longevity, right? You're right. Like he is still relevant in a different kind of way. Like you say he's got hits, which is true. But like if you want to put him in that conversation, then we got to sharpen our scrutiny a little bit. And I'll, you know, like let's all be honest. Like his sound is not making a quote unquote hit anymore.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But like if you're going to put him in that GOAT category where it's like Dre or Timbo or, you know, something like that, then those kind of things start to matter.
Maybe.
He's in the Hall of Fame. The problem is we don't have a Hall of Fame. Why don't we? Can someone explain to me why we don't have a real hip-hop Hall of Fame? Not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a... No. That has become a music Hall of Fame, which is fine. But, like, why don't we have a hip-hop Hall of Fame?
We have a trap museum.
Listen, how is Jay-Z not on this yet? This
not on what?
Funding a hip-hop Hall of Fame.
Oh, a hip-hop Hall of Fame? Okay. I thought you meant working with Alchemist. Like, well, he did on that J Electronic album that nobody listens to.
No, you know what nobody listens to? That Drake project.
Yeah, I was talking to some friends about that recently. Yes.
Boy, talk about Come and Gone.
That is crazy.
Even I can't even think of it. What was the quote unquote playlist?
More Life?
More Life had more life than this.
Yeah, but I think I blame the pandemic.
Nah.
I think people weren't focused on. And I also think that it wasn't. That's right. We kind of killed it. Like it's not that good.
It's not that good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.